An angel appears to a faculty meeting and tells the dean that in return for his unselfish and exemplary behavior, the Lord will reward him with one of three things: wealth, infinite wisdom, or beauty. And the dean doesn't have to think about it at all. He says, "I want infinite wisdom." And the angel says, "Done," and poof, disappears in a cloud of smoke and a bolt of lightning. Now all of the heads turn to the dean, who sits surrounded with this faint halo over his head. And at length, one of his colleagues says to him, "Say something." And the dean looks intently at his colleagues gathered around him and says, "I should have taken the money." Money is much easier to quantify than wisdom. And yet the Bible says that the prudent always seek for wisdom first. This week we've been reading from this beautiful book called The Wisdom of Solomon, also known as the Book of Wisdom. And although this book was written in the second century before Christ, it harkens back to King Solomon. Now, if you know anything about Solomon, sadly, as he got older, he went for the gals and the money. But earlier in life, when he was a young king, he desired wisdom above everything else, even more so than money. And we heard a beautiful passage from chapter 7. And to set that passage in its context, I want to quote to you now a couple of verses from earlier in this same chapter, where we see clearly this reflection back to King Solomon and how he put wisdom first. "I called upon God, and the spirit of wisdom came to me. I preferred wisdom to scepters and thrones, and I accounted wealth as nothing in comparison with her. Neither did I liken her to any priceless gem, because all gold is but a little sand in her sight, and silver will be accounted as clay before her. I loved wisdom more than health and beauty, and I chose to have her rather than light, because her radiance never ceases." Isn't that beautiful poetry? Solomon desiring wisdom above everything else, because it's wisdom, when applied to our lives, that allows us to live well. It is that virtue that we are to seek above everything else. And the righteous are those who earnestly desire wisdom. In the passage that we had this morning, we hear that God sees those who desire wisdom as those desiring that which is best. Listen again to this verse from today's reading. "God loves nothing so much as the person who lives with wisdom." Isn't that an amazing verse? What does God love about everything else? The person who lives with wisdom. Now, it strikes me, this does not say the person who has wisdom, but the person who lives with wisdom. This is because wisdom isn't so much something that we possess, but rather wisdom is the guide who walks with us throughout life. And if you know the wisdom literature of the Old Testament, repeatedly, wisdom is personified, and she's personified in the feminine. This coming Sunday, we're going to have a reading from the book of Proverbs, right at the end of Proverbs chapter 31, and it celebrates a woman who is wise. And so, we need to think a little bit more about this gift, this woman, this personification of wisdom. And in our reading this morning, we hear of wisdom's attributes. Now, I had time to sit with this passage, so I got out my finger and I counted the number of attributes that are enumerated in verses 22 and 23. Do you know how many there are? 21. And I thought about that, 21 attributes of wisdom. 21 divided by 3 equals 7. 7 in the scriptures is the number of perfection. 3 is the number that is a reflection of the divine and holy Trinity. So here in verses 22 and 23 of wisdom chapter 7, We have the number of divine perfection, the number of perfect wisdom. Well, then I kind of divided these attributes out a little bit more. And they seem to speak something about the character of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let me first of all list for you again the first seven attributes. Wisdom, we are told, is intelligent, holy, unique, manifold, subtle, mobile, and clear. I don't expect you to remember the list, but I would invite you to take some time today to reflect on your own about these qualities. Intelligent, holy, unique, manifold, subtle, mobile, and clear. These qualities seem to speak of God's omnipotence and his omnipresence. That way in which God infuses all of creation, like God the Father, the creator of heaven and earth. The next seven attributes seem to concentrate more on the near presence of God, God's immanence, as we celebrate in the incarnation of Jesus Christ. For here we're told that wisdom is unpolluted, distinct. And who is more distinct than the second person of the Blessed Trinity, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Wisdom is also invulnerable, loving the good, keen, irresistible, beneficent. Doesn't that seem to characterize the very nature of the Son of God? And then finally, we are told of these seven attributes that seem to speak to the Holy Spirit, the counselor and guide. Wisdom is humane, steadfast, sure. I like this next one, free of anxiety. All-powerful, overseeing all. And then the seventh and last, listen to this. Penetrating through all spirits that are intelligent, pure, and altogether subtle. Yes, the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. And these attributes of wisdom are to inspire us to live humane, steadfast, and confident lives. I'm still working on the next one, free from anxiety, but I seem to be making some ground by the work and grace of the Holy Spirit so that we can choose to live each day with the indwelling Holy Spirit. For like Solomon and our faculty dean, we are to be people who seek wisdom above wealth and beauty. For as our reading today says, she is a reflection of eternal light, a spotless mirror of the working of God and an image of his goodness. I love this book of wisdom, and because I used to be a Protestant, I never read it before I became a Catholic. Thanks be to God for the Catholic Bible. This is beautiful stuff. And there was a book of the Bible I did read, because it's in the Protestant canon too. It's 1 Kings chapter 3. And there we hear the prayer of a young king, Solomon, when he's in his 20s. And listen to what the young king prayed for. Give your servant therefore an understanding mind that I may be able to discern between good and evil. An understanding mind able to discern between good and evil. That's what it means to grow in wisdom. May we all pray in such a way that we will increase in wisdom as we walk through this life with wisdom at our side. Remembering this, God loves nothing so much as the person who lives with wisdom.